Welcome to everyone here. I know there's visitors from up there in the north, from Rundu. Welcome, Carla. We've got people from Ringtal. Christian, great to have you here. And then we've got a visitor from South Africa, all the way from Stellenbosch. We're not going to ask you to stand, but we're glad you are here. It's wonderful to have you here. I just want to ask all the new visitors. I saw a lot of people. Okay, let me first put it this way. The church is full. I enjoy it quite a lot, you know. So we have the fivefold ministry in church. So I think the evangelist, if you are evangelist in heart this morning, you're probably thinking, yo, are all these people saved? Do all of them know the Lord? You know, they're counting heads maybe. Evangelists are like that. Okay. The prophets might think like, wow, what does God want to say to everyone here this morning? And the apostles might think, but wow, we can plant a lot of churches with all the sheep that we have here. And then the teacher might think, wow, there's a lot of people that will listen to the teaching. Praise God, I wish I was standing there in the pulpit this morning. And then lastly, I'm here, the pastor. I'm a pastoral person, so I can just tell you, it's great to have all of you here. I love you guys, okay? So now I forgot the point I want to make. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. But there's a few guys of you that I don't know. I don't know your names. You're new visitors. So I want to ask maybe Johnny, if you can help us. I want to, for everyone that's visiting our church for the first time, it's just, we want to give you a little gift pack. So if you feel free to do it, please raise your hand just for a minute or two. Because if you don't mind, I want your telephone number because I want to give you a call and invite you to a small group. So I know you are here. Will you, new visitors, please raise your hands just for the moment that we can see who you are. Thank you. There's a few hands. So if you can just... in the same breath, I'm just going to invite you to stay a little bit afterwards. We would like to spend some time with you, have some fellowship, get to know you. We are a relational church, so it will be just nice to get to know you better. Then, Skola, where's our Skola? Is she here? She's outside probably. As was said, it's her birthday today, so congratulations to Skola. Maybe she's in the mother's room, so she's hearing. Just want to say from my side, thank you. Skola is doing a lot of hard work behind the scenes. Church look very easy many times, but there's a lot of stuff happening between Monday and Sunday and a lot of preparations. She's doing all the emails, all the admin, all the things. So Skola, we love you and we appreciate you, so just give her a hand, please. And then just lastly, all those of you guys that will be going with me to the Shofar conference at the end of the month, I know we had a few meetings and we are praying for a few things, but I believe God is helping us currently. So if you guys can just stay behind again for 5 minutes, it's just one more Sunday, then we are leaving for Cape Town or for Stellenbosch. So please stay afterwards that we can just make those final arrangements. There's just one or two quick things that we have to talk about. Thank you, Leanne. So this morning I'm gonna talk a little bit. I'm gonna share on the new covenant. Okay. So the new covenant is something that's very important. I just felt so much confirmation as we sang this morning. So all of you, I guess, know exactly what it is, how it works, why God gave it to us. But for those of you who might not know, I trust it will be a blessing this morning. And I really believe there's a reason why God wants to talk to us about this morning. I think the Holy Spirit, I just feel, want to just stir something in our hearts this morning. Now, you know, in Scripture, we can see there's a lot of covenants. Examples of that, there were covenants made between different nations for economic purposes, for in times of war, in times of peace. There were purposes made between Jonathan and David. You will know about that covenant. There were covenants with Moses and Noah and Abraham, all the big man David in Scripture. And then a very important one which a lot of you guys are part of, and that is where we are married. You know, that's also a covenant that we make between your wife and between God. It's something wonderful. I've preached about that a week or three ago. So if you want to listen to that, you are welcome. So it's basically between two parties where a covenant is made. You know, and I just felt it as we worship. You know, I think God just want to renew some of us this morning about His covenant. You know, and that's why it's so powerful what Ronald shared this morning. Just remember that God is the creator of the universe. He makes the rules. You know, I watched a rugby game or two yesterday. It was great. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but it was really nice. I can just say to the All Blacks in the house, be careful. I know you are here. There's trouble on your way. You know who you are. But, you know, there's certain rules that we play a game. That, you know, there's certain rules that a game is played with. And so God is the person in our lives. He's the guy that makes the rules. He draws the lines. He say, now we start, now we finished. And there's a prophecy about 650 years ago, Jeremiah prophesied, and I love it about Scripture. When you read something in the New Testament, and you can go actually back in history and trace where it was prophesied. It's so wonderful. It's so amazing about just the integrity of the Bible, just about the content. It's something I really love. So I want to start Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. That's where Jeremiah has prophesied about the new covenant. Now, this church is called the new covenant today. It's something that might seem a bit like a typical teacher topic or something theoretical, but I want to tell you this morning, I want to preach it from a very live side, okay? Because all of us, or most of us, I believe, are part of that covenant. It's really important to us. We are not under the old covenant anymore. Let's read about in Jeremiah 31:31. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel." And now it's stating it. "After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will hear their God. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will know no more, and they will no more teach each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me. Understand and be acquainted with me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now that is so beautiful, it's so powerful, because it's applying to all of us this morning. Okay? God, the Old Testament, that I'm not going to really focus on that, I'm rather going to focus on the New Testament. I'm just going to refer a little bit to that today. But this is what God said about 650 years before the book of Hebrews were written, where we are reading from. God prophesied about this. He said in his wisdom, in his omnipotence, he said, this is the way it's going to be. And what he's saying, very simple to all of us this morning, is from the youngest, there's a few young guys, you all saw the kids, and thank you for loving them. There's about 20 of the young guys, mine included, this morning, and thank you for not being distracted by them. But we are a family church, and we have to love the young and the old. Now there's the young ones in church, but there's also older people here this morning. And last week when I preached in Swakopmund, I told the church there, I know God will bless it. Because I asked my 3.5-year-old boy, Alvin, when we were driving, and I asked him, Alvin, bid for Papa for us, for ek gaan preek vandag. And I know just from his pure heart, he just probably said one sentence. But it's powerful, okay? And we can all know God. You don't have to come to my office, bring money, bring a sheep, a cattle, goat, whatever, and then maybe God will tell you something. That's sorcery. We don't do that. Okay? Pastor Fred always says we don't do that. In respect. So, this morning, all of us, from the young till the old, as we are worshipping, you know, God is speaking to us. He wants to speak to us. You must know this morning two things. Or one thing is that God loves you, and God is all out for you. Since where Reinald talked about, or prophesied, or spoke, shared this morning, from Genesis, all the way on, there's a golden goue draadjie that goes through Scripture, and it's about God and His people, how He loves us. And He said it as well. It's so much confirmation for me. So I don't want anyone to leave here this morning thinking that, well, this or that is wrong, and maybe God doesn't love me or anything like that. God makes the rules, and He laid down the new covenant for us and for Him. And we'll see a little bit later, it goes on to eternity. So I want us to look a little bit at this this morning, and it's wonderful. That's why I'm going to preach a sermon. I'm going to share what I believe what God laid on my heart this morning. You know? But I know that when you guys, you're 100 years, probably more, when you leave, I know if I were to ask every one of you, what did God speak to you about this morning? Most people will not say the same thing. You will hear the message I'm speaking, I'm talking, I'm sharing, okay? But God is going to, through the Holy Spirit, and that's why we pray before the time. I trust that God will show each of you something this morning. Can I have an amen? So that's something I have to, in Hebrews 6 verse 13, we read, "For when God made a promise to Abram, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." And that's a scripture I loved so much throughout my life. It's so powerful. You know, all the boys at home, sometimes when I rebuke them lightly, or Maritza does, he says, for instance, if I speak to them and I say, "Don't do that," then he's got this new thing. They will say, "I'm going to tell my mommy. I'm going to," or if both of us say, "No, don't do that," he says, "I'm going to tell grandpa," you know. Now, because they're referring to someone bigger or greater, I think. But here God made a covenant with Abram. And he said, "I can't swear by anyone bigger. There's no one bigger than myself, which is God." So God swore by himself. And that's so beautiful. It's so much about the character of who God is. So I wish we could look this morning with the covenant with Noah. You all know what God said. You will never flood the world again. With Abram, with David, with Moses. But time isn't going to allow us. So maybe in your own quiet time, you can go back and you can go and read again what agreement God had with those guys. But this morning, in Hebrews 8, it's a wonderful piece of scripture. It's a big encouragement to all of us. As I said, because all of us are part of this. We are under the new covenant. So I'm going to break it up verse for verse. We're going to look at it and what it means for us. So I know here towards the end of the year, it's getting a little bit hotter. It's getting warmer. It's a lot of people. So please give your concentration for 25 minutes. I'll be finished, but try to make most of it this morning. I'm going to read Hebrews 8 verse 6 again. "But as it now is, he," Christ, "has acquired a priestly ministry which is as more superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant," or the agreement, "of which he is the mediator, is superior and more excellent, because it is enacted and rests upon more important promises." So God is telling us here this morning, there is something better, it's something greater, the new covenant. It's something that's more of a blessing to all of us. So I'm not going to say this morning the old covenant wasn't good or anything like that, but he did add his restrictions. Now God knows exactly what he wants to do throughout history. He knows exactly when and how and where the Messiah would have been born, and everything. He knows everything. And the important thing that I want you to see there is that Jesus is the mediator. Okay? So when my two boys are fighting, I'll get both of them to stand there, and then I'll be the mediator. I'll tell them, "Now, what is the problem here? Let's sort it out." And they will probably accuse each other, and okay? And then we have to sort out that problem. But Jesus Christ is the mediator here for all of us. It's something I think most of you know, but it's something very important, okay? I'm going to share a few basics this morning. Okay, and that is that Jesus is the mediator between whom? Between whom is Jesus the mediator? Can I have a hand? Between us and God. Okay, so Jesus plays a very, very important role because he mediates between the Father God and between all of us. And this is a new season, it's a new covenant. That's why it's called the new covenant. The old covenant, or the law of Moses, this is new. It's something better, scripture says. So with better promises, it's a better relationship between us and God. Now let's look at what those promises are. Scripture goes on to explain it. Hebrews 8 verse 7 and verse 8. "For if that first covenant had been without defect, there would have been no room for another or an attempt to institute another one." So Scripture is telling us, listen, we have to, the old one wasn't perfect. There's a new one coming because it's going to be better. There was a, let me call it in layman's terms, there was a hiccup or two with the old covenant. Okay, the new one will be better. And then in verse 8, it says, "However, he finds fault with them," showing its inadequacy, "when he says, 'Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify a new covenant or agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.'" Now, this is only referring to Israel and Judah, but we all know from Scripture, the New Testament, most all of us, I think, are Gentiles. We are not Jews. So it's for all of us. It's for everyone here this morning. The new covenant, these promises are for all of us. Now, this important word. Scripture isn't referring to the covenant. He's referring to them. To them. When he's finding fault. If we read there in verse 7, it says, or verse 8, it says, "He finds fault with them." Now, who was the them? It was the Jews. It was the people whom the covenant was made with. And that is not nice, because we aren't God, we are the people. Okay, and God has a covenant with us as well this morning. Okay, and we really need to keep it. We need to keep it. But in the Old Testament, and the sad news is that the people's hearts were hard. They weren't following God. They weren't obeying the way God wanted them to do. There was a lot of problems, unfortunately. Now, this morning when I prayed, I just feel I should share this. We have this new covenant. We all live under that. But what I just felt in my heart, and as I said, I want to share it, is many times we'll look at our job, our house, our car, our garden, your hobbies, whatever it might be in your life that is important to you. And you might feel that, the other day I did something maybe stupid. I sit in my backyard and I counted the trees, and there were 16 trees. And I thought, it will be great to have another tree there and there. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But many times we think life will be better, life will be nicer when we have this and when we have that. It's almost that the attitude that the Israelites had. God blessed them with manna. He took them away from Egypt. Okay? And then they said, no, God, but we want meat and this and that and. Okay? So I just want to encourage us that God has given us this wonderful new covenant, that when you go home, maybe read more regarding this and thank God for where we are standing right now. We can. Those of you who did the SOS, the School of the Supernatural, when we went to Swakopmund, where Pastor Sias has taught, okay, you saw God wants to speak to all of us. We've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son. There's a lot that we can operate in. But in the Old Testament, it wasn't like that. You had Moses, you had the Levites, a few guys involved, and the rest were just the people. Next week, I'm gonna talk or teach, and I'm gonna share on a book I'm reading currently from Bill Hybels. It's called the Volunteer Revolution. So you can guess what I'm gonna preach on. And the important thing is, I'm just gonna distract myself a little bit here. He's sharing, and the book starts with. Now, most of you are either going to school, working, raising kids. We are all busy. And then a person in his church asked him, so how can you ask of people that are so busy in the 21st century, how can you ask of people to be involved in church, come to intercession at something like 6:15 in the morning, or 6:15 in the evening, or come and practice the praise and worship at 7 o'clock? How can you do that to people? And he smiled and he said to them, I do it with a smile. Okay, so I'm not going to teach on that right now. But the important thing is, guys, we can all be part of God's church. We are all part of His bride. We are all part of this new covenant. It's not just, as I said, you have to come to me and only the pastor or the leader or the elder or someone can hear God's voice. We can all. Are you excited about that? Amen. Okay. So God says He's merciful to us, He's gracious to us, and I just felt, appreciate the manna in your life. Appreciate what God has given to you, and don't just, it's good to work harder or to plan for certain things. There's nothing wrong with that. I taught on finances a while ago, and we need to budget, we need to make a few plans, okay? But do appreciate what you have. We have the new covenant, and I tell you, it's very precious. I think a lot of the people in the Old Testament would have loved to have what we have now since Jesus brought His ministry and He became the mediator. So, unfortunately, in the Old Testament, it wasn't as much the old law of Moses that was so wrong. Unfortunately, the thing between God and the people didn't work. All the time, go and read Chronicles and Kings, you'll see, then the Philistines, they come and they attack the Israelites, then they get the fear of the Lord back into them, and it goes good for a season, and then they turn to idol worship again, and then God has to humble them again. It's up and down story, okay? But now, we've got something better, and that was because of their unbelief and their hard-heartedness that God said, and probably prophesied through Jeremiah, and said, it's going to be something better. So let's go on to Hebrews 8, verse 10, and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their heart, upon their minds, and even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You'll hear me many times when I pray. I will say, thank you, God, that we can be your children. Thank you, Lord, that we can be your sons and daughters. Okay? It's not a nice thing to grow up without parents. And it's not a nice thing to live without God in your life, in anyone's life. We have the privilege of having a father. God made this covenant with us so that we aren't fatherless. Okay? We can. It's in our hearts. It's in our minds. Hebrews 11. And it will never more be necessary for each one to teach his neighbor and his fellow citizen, or each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the smallest to the greatest of them. And I wanna encourage you this morning. Maybe think back to the first time that you prayed in tongues. Do you still remember that? The first time you felt in your heart God is saying something to you. Maybe something small like start tithing or stop doing this. And you know you could go to someone else and share, I feel God said this or that to me. Maybe you never had an experience like that. We're going to pray for you afterwards. Okay? Because God wants to speak to all of us. So it's important to know that the will of God is not going to be written just on stone tablets or on white Bible papers, but it's going to be in our minds, in our hearts. That's why we can quote scripture. That's why God can lay something on your heart and you can come to me like Reinald did this morning and say, I feel God is saying this to the church. Okay? That's wonderful. The new covenant will establish a relationship of ownership of us by God. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, none of us can, and we had in intercession time, we talked a little bit and I asked the guys, what do you want? If you had to preach right now, what would you preach on? And the one person said, I'll preach on God, about who God is and things. And it was great. Okay? But this morning, many of us can say we know a lot about God. We know God. We've seen Him work. We've seen the work of the Holy Spirit. But none of us can say we know God completely. Because God is too big to know. He's too much. He's too big. We will, in eternity, we'll get a little idea of how big God is. So, if Scripture says we can know Him, you know, it's a wonderful privilege for all of us. So I'm not saying something new to us this morning. I'm saying I think the Holy Spirit wants to stir this in our lives. It's a place that we should live from. And thirdly, I already said it, but it will be personal and intimate. It's not going somewhere, making rituals, doing things like that. You can, while you are walking, driving your car, jogging, even if you're on the telephone, the Holy Spirit can speak to you. He can drop something in your spirit. Amen. Who of you want to live like that? I want to. I want to more and more live from a place, just every moment, being aware of God, being aware of what Jesus has done in my life, and being aware of where the Holy Spirit wants to direct me. About praying a prayer in the morning and saying, Holy Spirit, please guide me. Where do you want me to pray for someone? Where do you want me to lay hands on someone? Maybe fast for a day. To be aware of that type of thing in your life. I really feel the Holy Spirit wants to encourage us in that. Two more things, two more scriptures. In Luke 22, verse 20, it reads, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And in Hebrews 13 verse 20, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know, guys, that's the wonderful thing. It's the fact that this covenant is going to be for eternity. There's a few references in Scripture. There's not going to be a third one or another one or another one. This is the new covenant under which we are living, and it will take us. It will take the believers, people that stand in the relationship with Jesus Christ. It will take us all the way into eternity. We will be God's children. He will stay our God, and we will stay His children. It doesn't say you're going to, after 5,000 years, you have to do something new or it's going to change. It says this blood of Jesus Christ, this death that Jesus died, that He can become the mediator between the Father and the people, us. It will take us all the way into eternity. So many times we are busy on a Monday morning, 8 o'clock, because you're a little bit late for work, or when two kids have nappies and the one has just fallen, okay, this is probably not what you're thinking about. But I want to encourage all of us to live from the new covenant, from that place of relationship with Jesus Christ. It's something with good promises, it's something better, and I think and I believe it's a privilege for us to live in this dispensation of the new covenant. In 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6, let's read from verse 5. It says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." And then specifically verse 6, "Who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So this is basically a contrast between the law of Moses and the Holy Spirit. That's the difference, one of the major differences between the old and between the new. And we are living under the new. It says the letter kills insofar as it pronounces judgment upon those who break the law, where the new, in the but the Spirit gives life. We have life, and we have life in abundance. Okay, that's why someone can come and say, stand here and say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Because He is. We can know it in our hearts. We can know it in our minds, in our intellect, in our being. We can understand it. It's not as I'm trying to teach you science or history or geography or something just theoretical. There's something in your hearts. There's something in your spirit this morning that will witness what I'm talking about. Because I know it's the truth. Because it's from Scripture. Okay? And that's the beauty. Many times someone will tell you, let's say this team will win today. And you'll tell them, well, maybe, yes, maybe, no. And you can reason or argue for 30 minutes on that. But if the truth I'm sharing with you this morning, it will witness in your heart. You will go home and you will know this is the truth. Because the Holy Spirit in you will confirm that. Then, so I want to encourage us. It says we are ministers of the new covenant. And if you look there at the back afterwards, or go on the board, you'll see about the mission team, about our upcoming Shofar conference. There's going to be the pastor summit. And you'll see, as in Matthew 18 verse 20, you will see, 28 verse 20, that we should all be ministers of the new covenant. We should go to the nations. And I'm saying it not just because I want to say it once more, or it sounds good, but there's people sitting here today because of people praying for you and for me. I shared this testimony I shared on prayer in Spark of Moon last week. And I said, I remember that Friday night, it was the 25th of October 2002, just the day after I got born again, after I got saved. You know, the one guy I always used to go fishing with, he phoned me, and I thought, it's Friday night, he's probably going to ask me to go fish with him tomorrow morning again. And he phoned me and he said, well done, it's the best choice you could make by giving your life to Christ. And I was so... And then he said he prayed for me. And afterwards it was in my heart and in my spirit, and I thought like, wow, this guy really prayed for me, and he phoned me now just to tell me that. He didn't ask me to go fish. Okay? It was so powerful. So every one of us that gets saved or born again, there's someone somewhere praying for us. And many times it takes someone to go to you and say, to talk to us and to share the gospel. You don't just get saved many times. Somewhere in a church or in an outreach or someplace, someone shares the truth with you and you respond to it. I remember when I made that decision in my life, I just knew I'm doing the right thing. I just knew that I knew this was the right thing to do. And from there, I didn't look back. So I want to encourage you also this morning, not to just live from the new covenant, but to be a minister of the new covenant. Okay? To share that, to preach that, to live that. I'm going to end off this morning. I'm going to end off with Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." Now, if there's one thing I clicked this year, then it's really that everything we are doing should be for the glory of God. Every prayer that gets answered, that's wonderful, but it's to glorify God. And that's why I prayed, or shared earlier in the year, the more people that's praying for something. I mean, there Richard came today, and they truck brought that awesome testimony after David asked us to pray. I'm just sharing a testimony here. After that truck got hijacked in Joburg, you guys got the truck back almost unscratched. You know, it's wonderful to have the truck back, but the point is to give God the glory, to worship Him. Now, I just want to read verse 21 again because I believe it's quite rich. There's a lot in it. Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Okay? So, this is what it's about, that we can do the will of God. You know, yes, go on holiday, rest, sleep, spend time with your family and wife and kids and work hard and everything. But it's supposed that we can live from a place where we can say, I want to do God's will. I want to be obedient to Him. Okay? And maybe another time we can talk on exactly what that is. But we should be obedient to God. Okay? There's a covenant between me and my wife. That's why I'm wearing this ring. It's a sign of a covenant. It's from the Old Testament where they exchange rings or a belt or a piece of clothing. And the tribe said, we will not attack you. We are friends now. I can't just walk away from the covenant I made before God with my wife. Okay? And I want to bring it before us to encourage all of us. Just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I can be a child of the new covenant. That I can live from this place where you brought us something better. Where the Old Testament had a different way of working, now it says we can all know Him. It's written in our hearts. It's on our minds. And that's why it's so nice. Many times when I'm walking with the dogs in the morning, I'll pray, but I'll just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. It's all the time. It's in your spirit. It's all the time going around. Amen. So I want to end with that we should do His will, to glorify God. As I said, it's something that we should embrace. It's something to be thankful for. So that's what I want to leave with us this morning. I think most of you know about the new covenant. We all know about it. But what it means, it would have been nice to look at all the previous covenants made and what the importance of that was. But we are the guys living in this time. And this covenant is going to take us to eternity. Father God, we want to thank you this morning, Lord Jesus. We want to thank you for the new covenant. We want to thank you, Lord God, that we can say we are alive through the Spirit, Lord God. That we want to do your will. Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord God, that we didn't just receive something written on stone or a Bible full of pages, what to do and how to live. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can direct us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us, for telling us that we can have that feeling in our hearts many times where the Holy Spirit will just prompt us to give away something, to bless someone, to pray for someone, to intercede for someone. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that we can be alive, Lord God. We thank you for the covering of the new covenant, that, Lord, that as scriptures say, that it's a covenant between us and between you, Lord God, that it's for all of us, and that we can live from that place, Father God, where we know we can be your sons and daughters. We are your children, Lord, not just for today or for the past few years or the few years to come, Lord, but for eternity, Lord God, that you have called us and invited us through Jesus Christ to spend eternity with you, Lord, in your presence, Lord, and just to see how wonderful you are, how wonderful you created the heavens and the earth, Lord, how powerful and mighty you are, Lord God, and for that light of yours, Lord God. And this morning I pray, Lord God, that we can all be ministers of the new covenant, Lord, that we can know where we stand in terms of you. We thank you, Lord God, for Father God, for Jesus Christ, Lord God, and that He became the mediator, that we can have a relationship with you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, that your blood has flown, that we can be healed, Lord God, that we can be bought, Lord. We no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to you. We are bought with a price. Lord, and for all of us that we will walk out here this morning, Holy Spirit, I trust you that you'll stir something in our hearts, that when we leave, that this thing will carry us through the week, that we will know of the beauty of the new covenant, this more blessed covenant, Lord God. And Lord, where you also called us to have a part in it, where we also have a part in this agreement, Lord God, that we will do your will. Father, that when we are confronted, Lord God, with sin, Lord God, where the devil will just try to lure us into that, where he puts that trap, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, thank you that you will always warn us, and that you'll strengthen us to walk away, that we can just walk away from that, Lord, and that we can be holy before you, Lord God, that when you come for us as your bride, Lord God, that we will be white and pure, Lord God. And I trust, Lord God, I pray this morning for every person, Lord God, that's in a type of a curse of sin, in a ritual or something that you or she can't get out with. I pray in the name of Jesus for that to break. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Father God, that we don't have to be prisoners of sin anymore, Father God, but that we can be free, Lord God, and free to have relationship with you this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, is there anyone that want to share something? I think there's someone. David, you can.
Good morning. Thank you, Carl, for the opportunity. I was just sitting here and I want all of the students, grade 10 and grade 12, that is blocking in the next week to go into full-time, to studying for the end-of-year exams. Can you come forward? Let me pray for you. And let us as a church, you know, agree all that we will pray for you. That God will give you the wisdom to study hard, to learn hard, because it's only by really working hard on your studies that there's a future ahead. So all the grade 12s and grade 10s, can you first come forward?
We've got a lot on our hearts, and praise God for people, for men that hear from God. We're going to pray for you right now. Please stand. If there's anyone else you want to come out, please stand here. But to my right hand side, if there's anyone here this morning and you need prayer, you feel that there's anything in your life that you feel you just want someone to agree with you, lay hands on you, that's the wonderful thing. We can minister to each other. We can pray for each other. Okay, so if there's anyone else that feels you or she needs prayer, maybe Aaron, you and the team, you can just come to the front and just play the piano for us. Or if there's anyone here, and this is the most important thing I'm going to say this whole morning. If there's anyone in the house this morning, and you're not exactly sure what I was talking about this morning, about the new covenant and about Jesus Christ and his blood and about becoming a new person. If there's anyone, you're not sure you're standing in a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to please come and stand here to my right-hand side. It's about 9 years ago that I said, Lord, I want more. I want to know more. I want to give all everything. So if there's anyone here this morning and you're not sure if you're under the new covenant or you stand in a relationship with Jesus, please come and stand here to my right-hand side afterwards.
Yeah, God just also laid on my heart what God is saying now. And the new covenant is for those people that just feel in the heart, or it's just a question I want to ask you. Where do you run to when life gets rough? Where do you go to? Who do you run to? Do you run to your parents? Do you run to your friends? What is the rock that you cling to when absolutely nothing makes sense? And this is this new covenant that Carl is speaking of, that Jesus is that rock. God is that rock that you can stand on, that it's firm. No matter how rough life gets, no matter how rough the seas get, you can stand on a rock. It will not move. It will not be shaken. And you will be safe there. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what pain you're going through, no matter what life throws at you, you might get hurt unbelievably. But you can always know that God is there and He loves you and He doesn't want this pain for you, but He wants you to have this life and life in abundance. And there's something else just that Carl said, and that is that he and his wife is in a covenant and he will never walk away from that covenant. But unfortunately, we are people of sin. And we so often walk away from that covenant that God has given us. And it's just that God is such a great God and such a gentleman. He stands in that covenant with you, and He will never walk away from that. He never backs away. He stands, if there's a line drawn, He stands there every day, every morning, every night, 24/7. He is there waiting for you, loving you. But if there's someone that has walked away from that covenant, He cannot walk after you. Even if you walk away in sin, God is such a he is such a God. He cannot come after you. He wants you. He's calling for you. But He cannot follow you into that sin. He's standing and waiting for you. And it's like the prodigal son that went away. The father let him go, but He could not stop him. But He was waiting for him. And when He saw him, He got out of his chair and he ran to his son. And that's the type of God we serve. He cannot follow after you where you're going, but He's waiting for you to return to that covenant. And if you take that step and coming back, He's there. He will take you back, whatever. And it's just for those people that walked away from that covenant, if you can also come to the front, and we pray for you, because it's really important that God restores that covenant. And also for the people, like Harold said, that you don't know what that covenant is, what it means, what God means to you, please come forward. Let us pray for you. Let us just open up that door that you can experience that solidness, that rock that you can stand on. Amen.
Okay, guys, I want to, before we will pray for you, as we pray for, especially for the students, let us all agree with it. Let us raise our hands, you know, let us steek ons hande uit na hulle. Let us raise our hands to them. And as a church, agree that God will give them the wisdom. But I want to give you Psalm 20, because I was just thinking, what can I give you guys for going into this exam time? Psalm 20 said, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May He remember all your meal offerings, but may He remember all the offerings that you will do, sitting with your books and studying. And find your burnt offering, your studying, the things that you were studying, acceptable. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel." And this is what we as a church want to pray over you. And we will pray with you now. Let's just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You this morning. We thank You, Father God, for the opportunity that we can listen to Your voice when You speak to us. Father, I want to bring these young people before You this morning. Father God, You know their heart's desire. You know, Lord God, they want to do good in their exams. Father, as they're going into their block time now, being studying hard to have success, Lord God, I pray that You will open their minds. I pray, Lord, that You will bless them with wisdom and understanding this morning. Father, that every subject that they will studying, they will understand it, what they are studying. Father God, I pray that You will open their minds when they're going into the exam rooms within the next few weeks, sitting down and doing the exams. I pray, Father God, that Your Holy Spirit will go with them. Father God, will accompany them into that room, and that You will open their mind, Lord God. All the things that they were studying, Lord God, that will come down. Father, I pray for success for them in this year's grade 10 and grade 12. Father God, that the future will be ahead of them, that they will strive after their heart's desire. But Father God, I also pray that Your Holy Spirit will draw them closer to Yourself. Thank You, Lord God, that we can pray for these young people this morning. And thank You, Lord God, that we as a church can bless them. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Okay, so if there's anyone else, anyone else in the house this morning and you feel you need prayer this morning, then please come to my right-hand side. I think the rest of the worship team, if you guys can come up, if we can just sing that second last song again. I just feel we should all sing it together. Please stay afterwards for some fellowship. There's coffee, cookies, tea. And if you're new or you've only been here for a week or two, please stay. I would like to get to know you. Amen. Everyone can stand and we're going to worship together. Afterwards, there will be fellowship.